Welcome to the Jeffers Brief, only on Contra Radio Network.
Good evening, John Jeffers here. The Jeffers Brief here, only on Contra Radio Network. Before we get started, as some of you are aware, CRN has a music channel on Live 365. Goes by the same name, Contra Radio Network. Now, we're trying to get the numbers up so we get some paying advertisers coming in. But what I'm asking you is this. Look, when you're done for the evening playing on your computer, if you could go to Live 365, go to Contra Radio Network, push play, have the music going. If you could, you know, set it up, you know, so you can hear the music and whatnot. And then if you're going to be going to bed or done or watching TV, whatever, mute the speakers if you want, but keep it connected so we keep getting the rating, the numbers up there. That'd be great. That would really help me out a lot. I'd really appreciate it. And you can set up your computer so you can turn off like in 3 hours or 4 hours, whatever, you know, just go to the power settings there on your computer and you can do it that way. Then it'll turn off automatically. But if we get like for example, last night, I reset it and when I was done with everything, just let it play on. My computer is obviously in my studio. It's not downstairs, so I couldn't hear it anyways because I listen through the headphones anyhow. Otherwise, I have to play around with it too much, and I just hate playing around with it when I don't have to. So if you could do that, it would help boost the numbers a bit. And we need all the help I can get. And for those of you that have been going to Podbean, or going to Stitcher, or TuneIn, or Spreaker, or what's the other one? iHeartRadio, listening in to the podcast, thank you, I appreciate it. Player.fm, same thing. Thank you. For tonight, though, let's talk about... In fact, I got an email from my good friend, Brandon. And Brandon says, hey, look, I love the new format where we have shorter episodes, but we have more episodes to do. And he likes it because, you know, I'll tell you what I told the CRN leadership yesterday. We did a couple episodes over the weekend. I waited till Sunday night because on Friday night and Saturday and Sunday during the day, there really wasn't that much of a jump in the podcast count. There was some, but nothing really measurable. So Sunday night, took another look at it and wrote down the number. And then waited. Monday morning, about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, my time, what did I notice? Guess what? Podcast had jumped. So that tells me that a lot of you are listening to the podcast on your way to work. So, you know, while you're driving or whatnot. Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted. And because it's a bit of a shorter episodes, it makes it easier for you guys to listen in. You don't have to sit there and, you know, and listen for an hour or 2 hours like we used to do on Blog Talk Radio. Speaking of which, Blog Talk Radio, we miss you. We want you back. Da-da-da-da-da. You know what? I miss not having the system fail whenever I need to make a broadcast, a live broadcast. Now, let me ask you this. Email me, ContraRadio@live.com, ContraRadio@live.com. And what I'd like to know is this. Do you like it better when we were on Blog Talk Radio, or do you like it better now? If we were to go back to Blog Talk Radio, I would still keep it at about a half hour, no more than a 40-minute show, you know, and less. You know, it'll be less time, 40 minutes. I say 30 minutes is the cutoff time. Rob and I have been, you know, sometimes Rob and I do go over a bit sometimes, but that's not the rule. The rule is we stick to about a half hour. So I'm curious. I'm curious about that. I just want to see how it would work out. Anyways, just the same. I had no plans to go back to Blog Talk. But what I want is subservient to what you, the listeners, want. So if the majority of the listeners want to do that, you know, I'd have to cut my wrist and bleed out slowly waiting, you know, trying to make that decision to go back to those guys. Considering that Podbean's been really good to us. And we got a lot of different things with Podbean. For example, if you have an iOS or an Android device, guess what? You get the app. You get notified as soon as we got a new one. You guys hit your app, you guys are there. Much better than Blog Talk. They offer us a little bit more. Are the rates competitive? No. Podbean costs a lot more than Blog Talk Radio, but I think we're getting more. And for example, if you notice, if you go to the Podbean website where Contra Radio Network is, you'll see we got extra pages there. Extra pages. So if you're listening in from around the world, you can call in. You can. All kinds of interesting things. All right. Let me think. I'm trying to think what else. Oh, yeah. We also have the ability. It's common like a traditional website with Podbean. I posted some of the articles. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Austin, for your articles. I appreciate it. They've been posted. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay. As you can see, Facebook is doing everything they can to get away from the privacy laws, especially in Europe. I posted a story about that on MeWe.com. And I think I posted it on the CRN Facebook page as well. You know they're selling your personal data when Facebook moves 1.5 billion people from their servers in Ireland because of the privacy laws that just went into effect there, which means they are data mining the hell out of you. Google is actually worse than Facebook, if you can believe that. So if you're a big YouTuber or whatnot, they are taking everything they know about you. Everything they know about you, and they're selling out that information. Are you getting a piece of that pie? After all, it is you that they're using. Hey, I'm just asking the question. Don't get angry at the messenger here. You know what I'm saying? All right. No callers. I am sad. If you do want to call in, you're in the United States, the phone number is 605-475-4054. Again, 605-475-4054. The access code, 982-642. I would say about changing the access code to something a little bit more easier to remember. I haven't decided on the number on that yet, so here we are. Okay. All right. Let's get on it. Let's get to it. As you're well aware of, news is breaking that James Comey, this is for you Patriots out there, James Comey has decided to hire Patrick Fitzgerald, who used to be the assistant U.S. District Attorney in Chicago from the Northern District of Illinois. He's now in private practice. Well, Comey has decided to hire him as a lawyer. Why? Well, because even he knows he's stepped on his dick. And now it's time for the justice to beat the living hell out of him with it. But one thing I want to talk about tonight, there's so much going on, and that, you know, and we're talking about Sundance. The problem with this scandal, it's not one story that comes out or one angle that comes out. Sometimes, some days, there's 3, 4, 5 angles being published, bang, 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 bang. It's like, what in the hell is going on? That's how much is happening here. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, Devin Nunes, love the guy. He's taken a beating and never gave up, never quit, and now we've got what we've got tonight. Oh, what can we talk about? If some of you did email me, you love this stuff, so I want to go ahead and ensure that. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. I had a couple quick messages come in. Anyhow, what we're going to do is this. So that when you that we got the emails, and then what they said was, we like the updates on what's going on this, because sometimes we don't get enough details. Actually, you're not getting any details if you watch the mainstream media. Those, I mean, they're going to do anything they can to ignore it, but they do so at their own peril. Actually, their credibility is shot anyways. I mean, who really believes anything they say? Most of the people that are watching the mainstream media, they're just preaching to the choir. That's all they're doing. So, let's see. What can we talk about? Let's talk about something that we know is coming up here. And if you haven't noticed it, that's okay. A lot of times you don't notice it. So one of the things we're going to... let's see. Do I want to do this one? No. No. Request denied. Resubmit 90 days for further denial. Trying to find something that's really good. Let's see. What do we got here? Please tell me this is something that we could actually use. No. All these videos and stuff's like, come on. Jim Jordan. Jim Jordan from Ohio. Nope. What is it with all these videos? Normally he has good tech stuff. What's this? Oh, for the love of God, please. Okay. All right. Got a good one. All right. If you missed the Sunday talks, and you're going to... with Devin Nunes, he was out there laying it down, telling people how it is. Sundance, good. Like I said, you've heard me talk about him a lot, or her. I don't know who the hell this person is. Vitamin Water Zero, that's what the drink is tonight. Chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Devin Nunes, appears on the Sunday Morning Futures with Maria Bartiromo to discuss the origin of the counterintelligence operation that began in July 2016 against the Trump campaign. Now, last week, the FBI released the original electronic communication, that's EC, electronic communication documents that underpinned the origin of the FBI counterintelligence operation. The first half of this interview contained some stunning information. For example, the raw intelligence product within the EC did not come through official intelligence channels. Oh, okay. Meaning, the origin of the 2016 counterintelligence operation, which was specifically started by CIA Director John Brennan, and he's a turd, he's a class one turd. Absolutely useless. Sharing his quote-unquote raw intelligence product with the FBI was not an official product of the U.S. intelligence community. Brennan was not using official partnerships with intelligence agencies of our Five Eyes partner nations, and he did not provide raw intelligence as an outcome of those relationships to the FBI. So the questions, many of which are rhetorical against the backdrop of political motives, becomes, if the electronic communication is not based on official intelligence from U.S. intelligence apparatus, or any of the Five Eyes partners, then what is the origin, source, and purpose therein of the unofficial raw intelligence? Who created it, and why? Well, we know why. So as we begin to ponder the ramifications and answers to the questions in the first half of this interview, and I'll post a link to it, I think, we must remember that CIA Director John Brennan gave congressional testimony last year where he explained how he delivered the raw intelligence product itself. Now, we spotted this issue in Brennan's obfuscation therein a year ago when Brennan gave his first testimony. So on May 23, 2017, former CIA Director John Brennan gave very specific testimony to Congress where he noted he provided raw intelligence to the FBI Director Comey. Let's come to a full stop there. So if we listen carefully to the opening statement from former CIA Director John Brennan on May 23, 2017, during his testimony to Congress, Pay very close attention to this segment at the 1335 of this video of Brennan's testimony, where he says, quote, third, through the so-called Gang of Eight process, we kept Congress apprised of these issues as we identified them. Again, I mean, this is, oh God, you know, before, have you noticed that Obama is now missing in action? You don't see him sticking his mug on TV anymore. He's looking for a rock. He's trying to tunnel out of this mess. And you know, one whose name has not come up yet, and I'm kind of surprised that it hasn't, Valerie Jarrett. Are you going to tell me all this was going on and she had no clue? BS. She was telling Obama what to do. But again, her name has not come up. Sarah, you know, Susan Rice, absolutely. Samantha Powers, yeah. But Valerie Jarrett is mysteriously absent. Just something I thought I'd bring out. So again, getting back to it, in consultation at the White House, Brennan says, I personally briefed the full details of our understanding of Russian attempts to interfere in the election to congressional leadership, specifically Senators Harry Reid, Mitch McConnell, Dianne Feinstein, and Richard Burr, and to Representatives Paul Ryan, Nancy Pelosi, Devin Nunes, and Adam Schiff, between the 11th of August and the 6th of September 2016. I provided the same briefing to each of the Gang of Eight members. End quote. He goes on to say, given the highly sensitive nature of what was an active counterintelligence case, that means the FBI, involving an ongoing Russian effort to interfere in our presidential election. By the way, just so you know, the Russians try to interfere in every U.S. election. This is not new. It's been going on for a very long time. And notice, by the way, the mainstream media doesn't talk about when Obama tried to interfere in the Israeli election or in the Russian elections. This is payback. That's all that is. But anyways, so given the highly sensitive nature of what was an active counterintelligence case, that means the FBI, involving an ongoing Russian effort to interfere in our presidential election, the full details of what we knew at the time were shared only with those members of Congress, each of whom was accompanied by one senior staff member, end quote. Now, in the latest paragraph of the testimony above, remember, Brennan is describing the creation of the Clinton Steele dossier and how it was used to generate a fraudulent October 21st, 2016 FISA Title I surveillance warrant against U.S. person Carter Page. In hindsight, and against the known facts from research, we can clearly identify the need for the FISA warrant. The FBI and larger team of co-conspirators needed to have a retroactive legal basis for the political surveillance that was happening long before the warrant was issued, as we talked about in the previous episodes with this. What they did was the FBI started this counterintelligence operation based on nothing. So they needed to go back to try to justify the surveillance. They didn't have it. But wait, enter Clapper. Oh, guess what? That's how they got it started. That's how they got around to it. Okay. So this unlawful foundational FBI surveillance, which happened prior to October 2016, included the use of unauthorized FISA 702 queries of the NSA and FBI database for political opposition research by contractors. Remember, we talked about FISA 702 16 and 17s. We talked about that. If you don't remember, go back, listen to the prior episode where we're discussing this particular scandal, all right? And we discuss it so you understand what it is. There's two types of inquiries they're using. One was a where query, and the other is a who query, 16 and 17. And again, much like the unofficial origin of the raw intelligence that began the July 2016 counterintelligence op, the FISA 702 abuse was simply more unofficial use of the intelligence apparatus. So it was the FBI and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, generating the intel reports, including the President's Daily Briefing, which is a PDB. The CIA provided raw intel to start the operation, and the FBI and the DOJ, National Security Division, generated raw monitoring intelligence from the characters identified by the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, NSD, and approved by FBI FISA warrant submissions. So the FBI were running the counterintelligence operation and generating the actual reports that were eventually shared with the White House. And who in the White House? Susan Rice. And the Department of Justice, paging Ms. Lynch. Those reports or interpretations of the report content were leaked to the media by political operatives in the IC, and specifically FBI, throughout the deployment of the insurance policy. And the insurance policy was that they were going to frame Donald Trump. Frame! A president, a lawfully duly elected president of the United States. It's a coup. Call it by any other name. So during the time James Comey's FBI was generating the intel reports, Comey admitted he intentionally never informed congressional oversight because of the sensitivity of the matter. John Brennan was smartly and intentionally positioning himself out of the picture from the perspective of the illegal acts within the entire process. Brennan knew it was illegal. He did it anyways. But he also knew he had to get a way out of this. So Clapper, while rubbing his face and scratching his head, had taken the same route earlier. That would leave James Comey, Andrew McCabe, and the small group within the DOJ, National Security Division, and the FBI. The CIA and the DNI wanted all fingerprints to be from the DOJ and the FBI. Basically, they knew about this. They knew it was bullshit information, but they gave it to the FBI, said, oh, look what we got. Look at the shiny object. Look at the shiny object. Here you go. And then put our hands up, say, oh, no, 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 can't do it. So in his May 27 testimony, Director Brennan goes on to say the main substance of those Gain of Eight briefings in 2016 was the same as the main judgments of the January 2017 classified and unclassified intel assessments published by the CIA, the FBI, the Director of National Intelligence, and the NSA, which is the intel community. That January reference was the infamous 17 agencies report from CIA, Brennan, DNI, Clapper, FBI, Comey, and NSA Rogers, who had confidence except Rogers, according to the report, that Russia was attempting to interfere in the 2016 election. The intel report was finished January 4, 2017, the day before the White House meeting with Comey, Brennan, Clapper, etc., and was documented by who? Susan Rice. Now, a critic might think that Brennan is informing Congress on one thing, Russian investigation, and Comey, due to his March 20th admissions, the Trump investigation, is not informing Congress on another. However, that angle is rebuked by Brennan's own testimony that his specific intelligence product, the CIA, was given to the FBI, who are exclusively in charge of the counterintelligence investigation. I swear, Comey is not as bright and as smart as he thinks he is. Oh, good God. What's happening here in May of 2017 is actually John Brennan creating his defense and positioning James Comey as the primary person who is to blame for any outcome therein. See, even Brennan knew it was wrong. But Comey going, oh, shiny stuff. I like it. I likey. Give me the shiny stuff. And puts his fingerprints all over it. So, in May of 2017, deploying the insurance policy was still plausible, but it was becoming less likely to succeed. You can encapsulate what Brennan was trying to do nicely, and that is this. Brennan gave Comey the investigative product, which had nothing to do with the Trump team, and Comey used it to carry out Obama, Hillary, and Susan Rice's dirty work for them. Of course, Brennan was in on the whole thing, is now saving his own skin by saying, I briefed y'all on everything I had with regards to Russia. Anything additional that arose, please talk to my buddy Comey. That's exactly what's going on. Like I said, she put the little shiny object in front of Comey. He grabs it, has his fingerprints all over it. So CIA Director Brennan was making James Comey own the counterintelligence Ma Russia claims about the Trump campaign. As a consequence, Brennan was trying to make Comey the fall guy for a Robert Mueller investigative outcome in case everything fell apart and the deployment of the insurance policy failed. Brennan knows there's no there there. It's a big nothing burger, as Van Jones on CNN said months and months ago. So the entire construct of the Russian investigation was the political use of manufactured intelligence. They made it up, people. Used to create an investigation in order to weaken, perhaps eliminate, President-elect Trump or President Trump. That was their insurance policy. However, there simply was no there there because there's no substantive evidence to support a Trump campaign collusion narrative. Eventually, all avenues to prove the existence of something that doesn't exist, well, it hits a dead end. Why? Because it's not true. That's why. Knowing this was a likely outcome in May of 2017, Brennan realized that someone has focused attention on Comey's March 20th admission to Congress, that the FBI intentionally kept Congress in the dark during the construct of the counterintelligence narrative. Now, Congress was kept in the dark during this phase because the narrative can only thrive with innuendo, rumor, gossip, leaks. The appearance of the investigation itself was the political need. The substance was non-existent and immaterial to the creation of the narrative. So if Comey notified Congress via the Gain of Eight oversight, the counter-intel narrative would have been harder to manufacture as details would have to be consistent, and they're not consistent. That's the hobgoblins of little minds, liberal friends. That's the benefit to keeping any oversight away while creating the politically useful narrative. So in May of 2017, CIA Director John Brennan, facing the looming reality, the underlying Russia collusion evidence being non-existent, was trying to give the appearance that he briefed Congress on larger Russian election interference issues. However, the trouble for Brennan is his own admission that these issues were the underlying principle for the FBI counterintelligence investigation. Brennan specifically says he gave his intelligence product to the FBI. Don't forget, Brennan had to raise his hand and be sworn in. This is perjury. He lied under oath. That's perjury. Remember, if you lie to the government, you are held culpable for it. They can lie to us, but we can't lie to them. So Brennan was attempting to create a plausible deniability for his role in constructing a political narrative, a false narrative. It's not accidental that this Brennan retreat is being facilitated by a member of Congress. John Brennan admits to briefing last year. And who's he? And who? It's Adam Schiff. Adam Schiff is just a goof from the word go. So here's the backstory. Now keep in mind, with this interview by Chairman Devin Nunes highlighting there was no official intelligence apparatus used in the creation of the quote-unquote raw intelligence passed on by CIA Director John Brennan, the understanding from the House Oversight Committee is directing an investigative inquiry toward the State Department, and knowing that President Trump has just nominated his own head of the CIA to become Secretary of State, is it a surprise to see the political leadership of the Democratic Party attempting to block Pompeo? Pompeo knows where the bodies are buried. He knows everything about it. Yes, now you get it. See, first of all, Pompeo is he's not stupid. He is not a dumb man. The man is number one in his class at West Point. West Point does not produce dummies. They don't. They just don't. All right. What do you think? I know, it's driving you all bananas. I get it. Now, As here we are, we're about, what, it's Tuesday? Yeah, it's Tuesday. There's more to come. There's more going to be coming out. We know it. They know it. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time before more stuff starts breaking here. And if Pompeo, who will become the next Secretary of State, even if they vote along party lines, it still goes. Now, I don't know. McConnell is a creature. He's a swamp rat, but he's a creature of the institution that which he serves. That is, he won't do what's necessary to be done. One of the things that has to be done, this nonsense of you got to have a 60-vote majority, it's not even lawful. There's nothing in the law that says you have to have it. It's a simple majority. You could have a 51-50 vote. And 51, guess what? Motion carries. Anyways. Now we understand, you get a little bit more idea of where people are fitting in on this. All right. So that's it for now. I will be back again when we have more stuff coming. Rob is coming up, I think, Thursday. He's got a great episode coming up. Be looking for it. Feel free to participate. Call him. Participate in his show. Don't forget, we're in about another week or so, we will be going to another giveaway, because I know you all like those giveaways. We're going to be going to another giveaway. You don't want to miss it. For those of you that are attached with CRN, like in the leadership positions, you know who you are. No, you cannot participate in the giveaway. That's for the listeners and subscribers. You know that. So do I. Anyways, with that said, I'm John Jeffers here on the Jeffers Brief. You've been briefed. My Prepper and Patriot friends, be safe, be alert, and be vigilant. And thank you again for listening. Remember, Contra Radio Network, and please, Live 365. Let's jack up those numbers. Have a good one. Good night.